Kentucky Lake and Barkley, Sardis, Ross, Burnett, Toledo Bend, Rayburn, and Conroe, he won't forget. He loved Lake of the Ozark, he loved Table Rock. Bull shows on the White River, he ain't gonna never stop.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. We also have the Grizz that is joining with us today as our co-host. But right now, we're going to go to the man who wrote the book on pier fishing. And I think this is the appropriate time of the year to talk about it. So we have Ken Jones on the line with us. Ken, give us a little bit of an idea about the book that you did write on pier fishing.
Well, the book 500 plus pages long, has tells how to fish all of California saltwater piers and some that are brackish waters. Has about 123 piers in there, and kind of tackle to use, bait to use, separate story about every pier, has how to clean the fish, eat the fish, and basically, it's the encyclopedia of pier fishing.
Sounds like we got something to talk about. Now, of course, your book is Pier Fishing in California, but there are piers all over it, and not just in saltwater. Is that correct?
Well, there's hundreds of piers. Almost every, I don't know about every lake, but I'd say a great many lakes have piers. Of course, there's piers throughout the Delta. You know, it piers provide an easy access for a lot of people that may not own a boat, or you know, maybe for some reason can't be out in a boat, or so they're just an easy place to go and fish and take your whole family there, and a lot of benefits from that.
Well, that's one of the things that the reason we wanted to bring you on today is to talk about taking the family and talk about an easy way to spend the day with the family, you know, pack a lunch and, you know, just spend the day either on the side of the river or on the pier itself. But let's get some kind of an ideas about some of the things that you recommend. Let's go with two different directions. Let's start with saltwater. As far as being successful, let's start with some tips on, I know, you know, every place is a little bit different, but give us some tips on fishing from a pier in saltwater.
Well, it's a little different depending on the area of the California. The Southern California has, of course, a lot of large, very large piers. The one thing about piers in saltwater, you don't need a license, so both the adults and kids can go out without a license out there. Limit is two rods and reel, so that's a little bit more restrictive. But in Southern California, the big thing I always recommend is if you're going to bait fish, and most people use bait on piers, try to buy good bait and keep it fresh. I like to use, from down south, ghost shrimp or bloodworms or there's different types. It's hard to find pile worms down there, but worms and ghost shrimp is great bait. Clams can be good bait. And then depending upon the type of fish you're fishing for, such as halibut, you may want to try to catch some live sardines or live little smelt or different types of brown bait, you know, green fish, white croakers, use those for the halibut. So the good bait is one of the keys, and the regulars know what they're doing, and they get the right bait, they're going to catch a lot more fish than just throwing a piece of old dried out anchovy out there, hoping that something's going to hit it.
Okay.
In the middle, you know, up north, the Bay Area, you're getting into some bigger species, striped bass, some big halibut, even some sturgeon certain times of the year. Again, the right bait is the thing to use. And it doesn't take a lot of fancy equipment or expensive stuff, but you need to have good stuff that's going to handle whatever fish you hook and know how to use it. So it's a matter of getting out there and practicing and getting comfortable with what you're doing.
Well, correct me. Normally in freshwater, you cannot chum. Is that correct?
I think that's true in most of the places. Yeah.
And then,
you can do that in saltwater, most saltwater areas.
Because I was just gonna tell a story about that. A couple of weeks ago, we had a kids' fishing derby, and I was able to acquire some anchovies that came in from a sport fishing boat, ran them through the meat grinder, and made anchovy paste, mixed some water in, and poured them around the pier. And in 2 hours, we had about 100 kids. And they brought in 350 fish. So, you know, I don't think that was an accident. So I'm just mentioning that normally if you're going to be fishing yourself, you know, you're not going to be putting, you know, chum in the water all around the pier, but it certainly seemed to work in that instance.
Well, I like to, quite honestly, like to, a lot of piers have fish cleaning stations on them. One of my favorite places is to fish right next to the fish cleaning station.
Right, because it's...
As I use bait throughout the day, I always, when I get to the, let's say it's an anchovy and I'm using pesos or sardine or something, when I get to the end, I chop it up real fine and I toss that out and try to keep a little bit of chum in the water. So, it's not a big, it's a small tip, but it can have big dividends.
Right. So in other words, once the fish are around, you want to keep them around by just continually make sure that there's some scent in the water?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Especially Southern California, because you have mackerel, you have big jack smelt, you get some Spanish mackerel, different fish like that. And Central Coast, not quite. Central Coast, you have sporadic visits with the mackerel or the sardines or the jack smelt, but not as steady as down in Southern California. So it depends on the area. But I always tell people that piers are like artificial reefs. They attract fish because of the stuff that's on the piling.
Mm-hmm.
But pelagics, especially like mackerel, you want to add something to that also. I'm glad you did that. I know there's a big tournament down in San Diego at Crystal Pier, and they always chum down there when they have their fishing. It's a great idea.
Well, and the timing of it, too, is that, in years past, I think we did it too early. You don't want to, you don't want to do it until just, before you're getting ready to start.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. They'll come in, they'll be attracted, and they'll eventually leave if they don't keep seeing stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got Grizz on the line, and he's kind of sitting there probably bored thinking, pier fishing, how boring is that? But it really is a great family sport, isn't it, Grizz?
Yeah, I did a lot of pier fishing when I was down in Florida. Mm-hmm. We did a lot down off the Keys and caught a lot of fish, even caught tarpon off the piers.
Wow. And, Ken, you did mention something about the piers and pilings. And in most places, there's growth on those, which would include mussels, especially
right.
in saltwater. And I don't know, if it makes a lot of difference or not, but, normally when you're using bait, you want to use bait that the fish in the area are looking for and used to. So if you get some mussels off the pier and use that, they're probably already there looking for it.
Right. No, fresh mussels are one of my favorite baits. If I'm fishing, I like to fish for perch, for instance, some of the big buttermouth perch, rubber lip perch, things like that. And if I can get them, I'll try to get fresh mussels. Again, worms are really good. Blood worms, tube worms, whatever I can get up in Northern California. You get these big tube worms, and the colonies grow right on the pilings and stuff. And sometimes you can get them down south. Used to be able to get blood worms. They're a little harder to find nowadays. Some places carry them.
Okay.
Central Coast pile, but pile worms and mussels, they're a natural thing found on the piling, so they're gonna catch
right.
fish there.
Okay. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but we do want to mention the book is called Pier Fishing California. Is that correct?
That's right. It's available at all the normal places online. Probably you can also go to my website. Pierfishing.com. You can order it through there, and some of the tackle stores carry it, and most of the big bookstores should have copies.
Great.
Sometimes they're out, but most of the time you can find it there.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, but I don't know if it's a fair question. In about 10 seconds, you got any hot tips for freshwater pier fishing?
I don't for freshwater. I wish I did. I don't.
Gotcha. Okay.
It varies.
But a bologna sandwich works real well when you're out on the pier
I've heard bologna and cheese and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Ken, thank you very much. That was very interesting. Grizz, please stay tuned. We're going to be coming right back with you in just a couple of minutes. Ken, Pier Fishing California, we appreciate having you on. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara. Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we also have the Grizz that is not quite in studio with us, but he's certainly here as a co-host because he's... Not located here.
I'm there in spirit. You know that, John.
Yes.
My spirit is with you, my son.
Yeah, okay. Well, Grizz, we're going to be talking to you. Of course, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about. But right now, we're going to go to talk to John, who works with fishhound.com, which apparently has become the premier website for anybody that's interested in any kind of fishing. John, does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. How's it going, John and the Grizzster out there?
Oh, it just keeps getting better all the time.
Oh, it's doing good, buddy.
And you guys are, it's phenomenal, you know, the approach you've taken and how fast you've grown. But let's get a little bit of an idea what you're seeing around, because you guys are plugged into how many different guides and locations that you have access to?
Probably about 2,000 plus waters in fly, salt, and conventional fishing across North America.
Well, you probably got a pretty good idea what's happening this summer then. Let's go ahead and start out. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I was just going to say, it's that time of the year. There's only one place I like to be out there when it's hot, and that's on the water.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are out of school. You have vacation time. Take your family out fishing. It's definitely a trip they won't forget, and you always want to check our website before you hit the water to get the reports that are going to put you on that fish.
Absolutely. So, well, maybe we've got some tips as to, different parts of the country and, what is the hot thing this time of the year? Obviously, when most people go out in freshwater, they're probably targeting either, it depends on where you are, bass and or trout or maybe some sort of perch.
Yeah, you've got a lot of options depending on which body of water you're headed to. I'd be happy to give you guys kind of a jump around the country and let you know what's hitting right now.
Okay, let's start with that.
All right, kicking it off up in New York at Lake Champlain, the lower end of the lake has been surrendering some very nice largemouths of late. This past week has been very good fishing with bass hitting on action baits and topwater plugs. Frog action over the weeds is starting to really turn on and should only get better in the next couple of weeks. Water level has continued to drop down and the water's clarity is still... so it's a little murky in some areas. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I said, you're moving around the country, but so we've got the south, the west, and central. We don't really get a lot of stuff. We don't talk a lot about the Great Lakes and the central part of the United States.
Yeah, it's one of those best kept secrets up in the north. I haven't myself been able to make it out there yet, but a lot of the larger pictures of fish that are posted on our site are coming from that area around this time of year.
Okay.
Well, you've got good walleye fishing, you've got lake trout, and then you've got the best smallmouth bass fishing in the world up in that part of the country.
There is no...
I don't think there's a river that runs through Indiana, Ohio, or Michigan that doesn't have some smallmouth. And you even got a good brook trout up in Michigan. So it's a real good place to fish, and it's cooler, too.
Yeah. And even
you don't have to bake your brains out.
Well, except recently, it's been pretty warm. But Do you have any, John, do you have any particular tips for people that might be just starting out and, you know, they want to go out and, you know, taking your kid fishing is great, but having them catch something is even better?
Yeah, you know, if persistence is always going to make for a nice largemouth. There's been a lot of success getting the youth on fish with the Alabama rig, of course. Nothing sweeter than having a school of fish swimming by something. Definitely going to increase your odds for the day. But this is the time of the year, you know. You can really throw anything depending on the time of the day. A lot of topwater action. It's not as hard for kids to get caught up in the weeds when you're skimming across the top of the water.
That's a good point.
And also it's exciting when that bass busts the water. It's really exciting. You can actually see the hit. That makes everybody get up and shout. I think that's probably the best fishing there is. Is top water bait, you know, for big largemouth is great. Don't you agree with me?
On a frog, yeah.
So, and that's what's got to happen. And now, early in the morning and late in the evening, the bass will come up in the middle of the day. They're down in the cooler water where you got to go down with big worms and Texas rigs or Catalina rigs and pick them up off the bottom. And then early morning and early night, you got that top water action in most places in the United States right now. So I really like to fish for those.
John, if anybody's interested, no matter where you are, whether it's salt or fresh or whatever it is, I'd certainly recommend that they go to Fish Hound. And if you got any special deals going on, let us know about it.
Absolutely. The website is www.fishhound.com. Check out the reports, sign up for our club membership, and we give you the chance to test and review all sorts of gear that's going to fill up your tackle box.
Great. Okay, thank you, John. We certainly appreciate you joining with us today, and hopefully we'll talk to you again maybe next week.
Always a pleasure, you too. Have a great day.
All righty. Grizz, we are going to bring someone on that I know that you know because you've been using some of his equipment. We have Eric, which is he's one of the premier guides, fly fishermen, and he has an operation, I believe it's still called the Artful Angler. Is that correct, Eric?
That's correct, John. Yeah, we're just doing online right now and doing it pretty good, actually.
Okay, well, if you're online, before we forget, how did we find you?
www.artfulangler.com.
Oh.
Or anyone has any questions email-wise, you can just send me an email to eric@artfulangler.com.
Well, that's easy enough. Yeah. But it is that time of the year, so let's talk a little bit about fishing and maybe a little bit about fly fishing. We have some people I know, you know, Grizz is a very avid fly fishing angler, both salt and freshwater. And there's a lot of people out there, I think, that would love to do it, but they might be a little bit intimidated. Do you have some tips on how people could get started?
Yeah, John, you know, it's actually getting a lot easier to get into the sport, especially with the internet. You know, you can pretty much find anything on the internet these days. There's great websites out there, YouTube, there's great instructional videos, or they can go into the local fly shop. You know, the International Federation of Fly Fishers has a great website that teaches people how to cast. So, yeah, don't feel intimidated. You'll see more and more people on the river actually out in the saltwater fly fishing. It's fairly easy to do. With all the info out there, I encourage everybody just to look online or go to the local fly shop.
Grizz, we're seeing a lot more saltwater fly fishing, and I think you're going to might even be doing some this weekend.
I'm headed out to do it tomorrow, John. I'm headed up to Loreto. I'm going to take those great flies that Eric was kind enough to send me and get them. They're catching them up to 40 pounds, 50 pounds. Let's see what I can pull in on a fly tomorrow. So I sure love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eric, give us a kind of a quick rundown because, you know, if anybody that's still young enough or old enough to remember a river runs through it, you know, you get the picture of these lines that are being cast out over this, you know, pristine lake. But that's only one segment of fly fishing. There's a lot of different types of fly fishing. Can you comment on that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, essentially, the way you look at fly fishing, I mean, you can pretty much fly fish anywhere. If you think of conventional fishing, fly fish, or conventional fishing with a spinning rod or bait casting, you can pretty much do anything that you can with a fly rod. For instance, you know, I know guys that go out here off, you know, the California coast to catch rockfish and other things that are deep water fish, or you can go inland to many lakes and catch, you know, catfish with fly rods. I mean, there's so much new gear and technology. We have these lines that get down quickly, so it's not just catching a trout in a stream or creek these days. We can, you know, we can pretty much do anything with a fly rod.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, you know, you go down in nymph fishing or using an indicator or topwater fishing. There's a lot of different aspects to it. But as you just mentioned, you can do almost any type of fishing that you can do with conventional gear. You can use a fly rod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I still get that all the time. There's a lot of people out there that have this misconception that fly fishing is just standing in a river and throwing a dry fly to a trout, and that's actually a pretty small part of the of fly fishing there.
But it's unique, Eric.
Yeah.
It's unique to put a number 22 or 18 on a big brown sipping drakes or caddis. Come on.
Well,
it's neat.
I think the here's the thing that makes it so interesting. It's hard to do. It is a challenge, but that's why we do it. I mean, if it was easy, there's a lot of people that wouldn't even, you know, think about going out there. But because it is a challenge, and there's nothing like hooking any kind of fish on a fly rod. I mean, the gear guys and the spin guys, I encourage them to get out there and just at least hook one fish on a fly rod. And usually
they'll never go back to conventional. You know, I've trained so many people, and they say, I'm throwing my rods away, and this is what I'm fishing from now on.
Right, exactly. And that's usually how it goes. But it's a great sport. It is a challenge. It's not the easiest thing to do, but, I mean, that's why people do it.
Well,
it's,
Eric, we're going to have to let you go, and that's great. And I think the message is that you don't have to be intimidated, and whatever you can do with conventional gear, you can probably do with a fly rod. And that website is artfulangler.com. We appreciate having you on, Eric. Grizz, stay tuned. We're going to be back with you just in a couple of minutes, and you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, so we appreciate you tuning in.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Billy Birdie always gets his worm. Me, I always get my wish. When you talk about that 5-pound bass, Billy Worm gets a fish.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with the Grizz. And Grizz, we appreciate having you on. And I guess one of the things that we just learned from Eric is that fly fishing can be done almost anywhere and very similar to what you're using for conventional gear fly fishing.
Well, the thing of it is, John, nowadays they've got all this sinking line, this fast sinking line, sink tips, shooting heads, lead cores, And, you know, I beg to differ. If it's fly fishing, it's like letting this big, heavy line go with a tippet down there with a fly on the end of it. You know, it's pretty tough to do. I don't do it, I'll be honest with you. I'll use a sink tip. That's about as far as I go for it.
Well, Grizz, what are some possible advantage of using a fly fishing rod? Obviously, it's long and it's got a flexible tip. But is there any advantage to using a fly line or fly rod as opposed to conventional?
Oh, sure. You know, when you're fishing, you can pick up the line. It's got, you know, most rods are 9 to 10 foot.
Right.
So you make a cast and you pick it up, you can cover the water faster. Where if you're throwing a spinning reel, you have to reel it up and then cast again.
Oh, yeah.
With a fly run, you actually pick the line up out of the water and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I can make probably 20 casts to one guy's one cast with a spinning reel.
Hmm, interesting. Well, we're
if
going
you know
to
know how to double haul,
mm-hmm.
shoot the line out there. So it's a lot faster and a lot more accurate when you're fishing down rivers,
right.
Or throwing to a billfish or to a dorado or something like that.
Good point. Yeah, because you don't have to bring it in and throw it out. You just kind of
don't bring it in. You just run
just
it up with your line, strip it in a little bit,
keep
make another false cast, double haul it, and put it right in the same place.
Right, or cover more water.
Exactly right.
Grizz, I believe we've got Shelley on the line from Lake Comanche, and she's going to give us, you know, we're going to continue the coverage of the summer fishing, and let's find out a little bit about Lake Comanche. Shelley, thanks for coming on Fish Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Good
afternoon, lady.
Shelley, give us a couple, first of all, let's give it a quick idea where Lake Comanche is, and then find out what's happening in your part of the world.
Comanche is located about, you could go 40 minutes of Sacramento off of Highway 88 if you take Highway 99, the freeway, straight up through Stockton area.
Mm-hmm.
We're located probably 15, 20 minutes outside of Clements, Rockford area. Also off of Highway 12 in Calaveras County. We have two entries, North Shores in Amador,
mm-hmm.
and South Shores located in Calaveras County.
So you're up in the gold country.
We are in the gold country, correct, yes.
Cool. Good. Well, this is a great place to be this time of the year, and I know that, you know, it can be pretty warm in certain parts of the country, but, you know, you guys are in an area that's fairly temperate. But give us an idea what's happening at Lake Comanche this time of the year.
This time of the year, actually, right as I walked out the door, I just got some information. I have a guy, grandpa, actually, lives out here, Dino, and his two grandsons. They all just caught their limits, three of them, on trout, and I just got to steal the fishing report before I grabbed the phone real fast.
Good.
And they are catching off a green power bait right now in East Ridge Cove, which is located over by Houseboat Cove.
Okay.
They were catching around 30 feet deep, which is pretty cool in the cove right there, considering the fact that our surface temperature of our water is sitting between 72 and 73 degrees right now.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard much about trout, but to see those 15 fish was pretty cool. The biggest one is about 3.5 pounds.
Whoa.
The rest are our planters, so mm-hmm. they, you know, at least they lucked out and pulled something out of here.
Mm-hmm. And what type of facilities if somebody wants to come up and visit you?
What type of facility? We have hotels. We have cottages. I take care of boat rentals out here as well. We rent out aluminum fishing boats and also pontoon boats. Up to 16 passengers we can accommodate to on patio boats.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the hot tip of is power bait then.
Power bait. Comanche is always known for power bait and night crawlers. Always has been. You can catch almost anything off a night crawler out here.
You know, Grizz, I would say that night crawlers are pretty much
night
the go-to
crawler.
Bait, aren't they? Yeah.
They do. It's fun. We get a lot of inexperienced fishermen and anglers out here. It's easy.
You know, the only night crawlers we have down here are Mexico or drunks at night trying to get home. That's our night crawlers.
I can relate.
Because they don't grow too good in the sand.
How about some red worms? We'll just go by red worms now for some crappie.
Oh, a red worm is just a night crawler that stayed out in the sun too long.
You're stuck right now. Can't come back from that one.
Okay. But you know that I would say, as I mentioned earlier, it does seem like if you want to catch fish, you know, it may seem corny, but a bobber and a nightcrawler still works, doesn't it?
it's all you need out here, especially we also have a trout pond over at South Shore. Uh-huh. We've been stocking. We stock our lakes from early October to late May.
Okay.
That trout pond gets planted about 600 pounds weekly out there.
Whoa.
We plant 2,400 pounds of trout.
So you continued stocking it during the summer?
No. We quit. May 22nd was our last. Our surface temperature is way too warm. They won't survive it.
Right.
But the end of this month here shortly, we did purchase a nice amount of Florida strain largemouth bass. And we're getting ready to plant those. We've been growing them the past couple months, and they'll be coming in. The end of this month is when I was told we're supposed to get a plant of them.
That'll take good care of your rainbow trout.
Yeah, there you go. So much.
That'll fix them right up.
Yeah, that'll so much for the trout when you put the bass in.
Yeah, but think about some big monster trophy largemouth.
It's going to be nice a couple years when they get a little bit bigger.
There you go. Well, Shelley, if anybody wants to come up and visit you at Comanche Lake, and I assume that you guys at Kyle Parks Company, you have some sort of a website for Lake Comanche?
Yeah, we have. You can, of course, find us on Facebook at Comanche, Lake Comanche.
Okay.
Also, ComancheRecreation.com is another. And East Bay Mud, their website, too, if you look at it. So it'll tell you what our water progress is.
Oh, great idea. Thank you, Shelley. You've been very helpful.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you later, girl.
Okay. Bye. All right. Well, we got Mark from Bass Angler hanging on the line.
Whatever you like. It's all right.
And I imagine you might have caught that little bit about that bass story. And what we were referring to, of course, is bass like to eat rainbow trout.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
It's like a nice hors d'oeuvre, or if it's a big one, a whole meal.
Yeah, okay.
That's how our bass out here grow so big.
Okay. Well, give us an idea of what's happening in the bass angling world.
Well, you know, bass are still in their summer pattern. You know, they're out deep. They're up shallow in the morning, up shallow in the evening, and then, out a little deeper in the afternoon, 20 to 40 feet, depending on what body of water you're fishing. And it's almost that way across the whole entire country. Probably if you move up really far north, it could be cooling off a little bit, and the fish maybe start getting into the fall pattern. But not too much. Generally in the summer pattern, which means they're up shallow in the morning, catching them on top water and fast moving baits. They move out a little deeper in the afternoon. You catch them on slow moving baits, jigs and worms.
Mm-hmm.
Deeper live bait. Crawling night crawlers on the bottom, things like that out deeper, and then up shallow again in the evening and all through the night. It's really a great time to night fish.
Oh,
also,
interesting idea.
Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this time of the year, that might not be a bad idea. When I think of bass anglers, you think about people that just keep throwing things, maybe 1,000 casts and hooking a couple of bass. But you don't have to do that. Apparently, there are different methods to do that.
There's many, many different methods. Like the hardcore bass anglers, a guy that is aggressively targeting fish, throwing moving baits at them, but you don't have to catch them that way. I mean, they're fish, they swim around, so they will eventually come to you if you're throwing a bait out there. And, and if you're fishing from the bank, you could pull up to a point and, fish one point, pretty much all day, and the fish are going to migrate through the area, shallow to deep and deep to shallow, and come across where you're fishing and where you can be able to catch a few.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that because it seemed to me that's something that you would have to go looking for and target. But if they do move around, so if you're just going to maybe stay in one spot, that it's got some cover and there should be some fish there. You don't have to be throwing all the day.
Exactly. And as most bass anglers, we get in this little groove where we don't even think about that. We think we're going to the fish and we hit a little spot, and if we don't get bit, then there's no fish there, and we move off to the next one. Not really thinking that, these fish have fins, and they live underwater, and they swim around. They don't just park on a rock and stay there all day.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving out, looking around, just like we are.
That's interesting. That's true. And, of course, Grizz, you don't have too many bass down where you are, but I guess the same method works for whatever it is.
We don't have any bass where we are, John.
Mm-hmm.
None.
No bass in Mexico.
In Mexico, we got tons of them, but down here where I am right now, there's no bass.
Mm-hmm.
A little salty down there where you're at?
Yeah, it's real salty. I'm in La Paz right now, getting ready to head to Laredo here in just a little bit. What'd you think of that rooster?
Oh, that was beautiful. Giant rooster fish.
A lot of fun. Yeah, what Grizz is referring to is he got lucky once again. He caught a rooster fish well over 100 pounds, which if he'd killed it, it might have even been a world record. But Grizz,
it surely was, John, because the world record's 114. That fish was right around 125, 135.
Mm-hmm.
Without the Grizz factor. Now, if I put the Grizz factor in it, that fish was way over 200 pounds.
Of course it was.
Yeah, if I put the Grizz factor in there.
Okay. Well, Mark, we're going to have to let you go again because unfortunately we keep running out of time when we're doing this. But if anybody wants to find out some more, it's Bass Angler Magazine, correct?
Yep, Bass Angler Magazine, and you can find out more about us on bassanglermag.com.
BassAnglerMag.com. Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate you turning in, Mark and Grizz. We appreciate your help coming from La Paz.